The European debt crisis isn't exactly breaking news, but today could be a critical moment.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European leaders are holding an emergency meeting in Brussels today, and at issue for the moment is a second bailout of Greece. But the bigger question is the financial stability of Europe. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
What's at issue here? Why has it been so difficult putting together additional bailout money for Greece?
Because there's a split between the Germans and the French. The Germans, whose taxpayers pick up a large part of the tab for these bailouts, want the private investors, including the banks that bought Greek government bonds, to take a hit. But the French and the European Central Bank have been saying that would be disastrous, it would be a default, it would perhaps trigger a series of defaults and perhaps a second European banking crisis.
All right, so the debate going on, is there going to be a deal?
Well, the French and German leaders met yesterday. They say they've reached a common position, but Gabriel Stein of Lombard Street Research says they've probably reached a messy compromise that won't convince investors that Europe is on top of the problem.
If today's summit results in another inconclusive or obvious stopgap plaster-like measure, I think we will find that the next fiscal crisis will take place within the next couple of weeks in the euro area.
And by fiscal crisis, he means another government, perhaps even that of Spain or Italy, needing a bailout. He says the only realistic solution is that Europe becomes more like a United States of Europe, issuing a federal Eurozone bond backed by the whole Eurozone. But that's going to be hugely unpopular, especially in Germany.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Mark, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
In Russia, vodka is famously the country's national drink. Nothing else really measures up there. Certainly not beer, which until today hasn't even been classified as alcohol. So now with new regulations, international brewers, including ones in the U.S., are expecting to take a hit. From Moscow, here's reporter Peter Van Dyke.
Since the end of the Soviet Union, Russians have got a real taste for beer, and international brewers have poured in to take advantage. Rocketing sales have been helped by laws that allowed anyone to sell beer at any time. Now the new law says beer is alcohol, and with that comes all sorts of restrictions. Natalia Zagvozdina of Renaissance Capital in Moscow says the end of sales at street corner kiosks will hurt brewers.
There are a big channel representing between 10 or 12% of the beer consumption.
Zagvozdina says along with the alcohol label comes a total ban on TV advertising. That will also be a problem, although brewers and industry groups say they have time to adjust. The law doesn't come into effect until long after presidential elections next March. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly lower at the moment. Asian shares were mixed today. Chinese video streaming site Xunlei said today it's going to postpone its initial public offering on the NASDAQ because of what it calls difficult market conditions. Wall Street yesterday, stocks closed mostly lower. The Dow lost 15 points to end the day at 12,571.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. For the latest business news, go to marketplace.org and click on the newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
A deal could be inked as soon as today between NFL owners and football players who have been locked out of team offices for 4 months now. The two sides have been embroiled in a labor dispute. Because no games have yet to be canceled, the lockout hasn't affected much outside the league, but it has done a number on Vegas gambling, depleting sports bettors in Sin City of potentially tens of millions of dollars in handle or how much money they're taking in. Chad Millman is editor-in-chief at ESPN, the magazine. He's with us now from Bristol, Connecticut. Hi, Chad.
How are you?
I'm doing well. We're still weeks away from the start of the NFL season, though. Why are we talking about lost money in Las Vegas?
Because what happens in Las Vegas is when the schedule is made in April, that's when bookmakers put up the week one lines. People can start betting those immediately. And what's happened is because of the lockout, they haven't been able to put up the week one lines because they didn't know if there was going to be a season. And there's just been a lot less action because people don't want to tie their money up or make investments on a team if there isn't going to be a season.
What kind of lost money are we talking about, you know, roundabout figure in Vegas?
The smaller books probably lost $1 million total. Plus, you're talking about the trickle down that happens when people come in to bet on their favorite team. They also might make a bet on a Major League Baseball game that is happening that night or an NHL playoff game. Think about some of the bigger books, you can double that. So if you multiply that by all the sports books that are in Las Vegas, then you're talking about $10 million total.
Do you think odds and bets will be any different because of this lockout?
Long term, absolutely not. But I think initially there are these bets called the over-unders and the totals. What happens is you bet on the total number of points that will be scored in a game.
Right.
Teams might not be up to speed because they haven't had the past 4 or 5 months to really work together and build a chemistry. So the totals will be much lower than they normally are. And I think a lot of people are going to try to take advantage of the fact that you'll see numbers that are much lower than they normally have been to start a season.
Do bookies already have their odds ready? I mean, how soon after this lockout ends,
presuming
it ends?
They'll be ready to go.
They're like immediately.
Instantly. I mean, some guys just have to push a button. Some places might be more judicious with their studies and might wait to see where some of the bigger name trades that have been talked about, how those play out before they put up their season win totals. And then certainly week one lines, those will be ready to go instantly.
Chad Millman, editor-in-chief of ESPN the magazine. Chad, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, in case you're concerned there's not enough money on the planet, a British jewelry designer says he's created the world's most expensive yacht. Stuart Hughes claims the boat is worth $4.5 billion with a B. Because the yacht's exterior, dining room, rails, anchor, and sleeping quarters are all made of thousands of kilograms of gold and platinum. Even a liquor bottle is made from a rare 18.5-carat diamond. An anonymous businessman reportedly bought the pricey boat. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau opens for business Thursday, so it's hiring.
We have people on staff today whose other alternatives within the private sector are, and I am not exaggerating, 5 times, 10 times, or 20 times the level of compensation that they are able to command here.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The costs of protecting consumers next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.